Welcome to the Time to Profit podcast. I'm Lorraine Gannon and I'm your host. In this podcast, we get to hear from some smart business owners and entrepreneurs who have cracked the code of profiting and found time freedom. They join us to share their insights into their business.
Today we have on Time to Profit podcast, we have Jonathan Cronstedt today, and he joins us as our very welcome guest. And Jonathan has experience leading the digital marketing and SaaS-based companies and is now the president of Kajabi, the digital education platform that we all know and love. Welcome, Jonathan. How are you?
Oh, thanks so much, Lorraine. Really glad to be here. I am wonderful. You know, other than the momentary rain that we seem to be having in Southern California, all is well with the world.
Yeah, fab. So I'm just going to dive straight in and sort of ask you about your experience and, you know, where did you start in this digital world? How did you get into this?
Well, I found my way into this world much like a lot of people that I think have ended up in this world, which is really just by accident. So I was a mortgage executive, vice president of a very large mortgage bank in 2007, and everybody really knows how that story kind of ends. And, yeah. Looked up at a company that was now out of business, an industry that was in crisis, and really, where am I going to go from here? And so it was funny because a lot of people during that time, and this is long before the industry is as mature as it is now, again, this is 11 years ago, and a lot of people called information marketers were really at that time selling into the mortgage business. They were selling systems related to use my system to drive more sales or something along those lines. So I just thought really this would be a great industry, you know, the information marketing, the digital marketing. And so when I got into it, most people were still using a lot of direct mail. And then all of a sudden it started to become this online element. So I was fortunate enough to meet my first mentor in the industry, Joe Polish. Without him, I wouldn't be in the industry. And he really shaped a lot of my journey through it, but worked with, Joe Polish and Matt Basak on kind of a mentoring basis for a year learning the industry, then was hired by Chet Holmes, worked with Chet for a year for Business Breakthroughs International, which was acquired by Tony Robbins. It's now Tony's Business Mastery Curriculum, was the VP of Business Breakthroughs Consulting at the time, and then hired out of there to work with Mike Koenigs at Traffic Geyser, which was really exciting. We got to do some of the largest online product launches of the industry at the time and, you know, working with local businesses primarily. Then following my time with Mike Koenigs, was hired out of there by Glazer Kennedy. Bill Glazer had just sold the company, got to spend a year with them in business development, hired out of there to be CEO of Digital Marketer and get to work with the unbelievable behemoth that is Digital Marketer, Roland, Ryan, Rich, they and Perry. They are probably some of the most amazing marketers I've ever had the chance to work with. And then, here at Kajabi. So it's been a lot of fun and sort of one of those circuitous paths that if I look backwards, it all makes complete sense. But if you had asked me when I was in the mortgage business what I would do next, couldn't have told you, couldn't have scripted it any better.
Yeah, and there's some huge names in that list. And, you're fortunate to have worked with so many people. But so, you know, when Kajabi came knocking, how did you get into that? What was your thought?
You know, it's funny. Are you a big Seinfeld fan? Have you ever seen the show Seinfeld?
No, is that a U.S. thing? Or?
Yeah, it's a U.S. show. So there's a joke in Seinfeld. I'll tell the story because it kind of illustrates it. And for those listening, if you've never seen Seinfeld, there's this character named George Costanza, who's a terrible dater, terrible with women. And he has this move called the Costanza leave behind. And what he always says is he's like, I don't do well on the first date, but I do great on the second date. So his whole strategy is I'll leave something on the first date so I have a reason to meet up with them again for the second date. You know, I'll yeah. leave a key or I'll leave a hat or a jacket or whatever. So the joke with me at Kajabi is I used the leave behind strategy. So I met Kenny when very early on, probably about 6 months after the launch of the company, met Kenny through a mutual friend and did some consulting for them. And while I was consulting for them, I actually bought a printer and brought it to the office. And they were a very small company at the time. And they actually said, you know, we needed to reallocate some resources, some changes happened. So I wasn't consulting for them anymore. And I left the printer. Fast forward about 2-3 more years, they came to me and said, hey, we've grown a lot. We'd really like to have you back at Kajabi. And so I said, okay, you know, let's try this out. I was at the time right before accepting the position of Digital Marketer. So I moved into Kajabi's new offices. I got a stand-up desk and my printer was still there. So I got my printer back and I added a stand-up desk. And then about 2 weeks after I said yes to Kajabi, I got the call from Digital Marketer and they said, hey, this is what we'd like to do. And I was like, Kenny, this is the direction I really want to go. I really want to go to digital marketer. So I've now left a printer and a desk, and I've moved to Austin to work with digital marketer. Well, after that, it was like I was in Austin probably about 3 weeks out of the month and 1 week in California, and I wanted to have a California office. So Adobe was growing, and they were moving to a new office, and they said, hey, we're happy to have you have an office. Would you like to rent an office from us? So my desk and printer now ended up in that office, and while I was working with these other organizations, they were growing, but I had this office that I was renting from them, only to then, at the conclusion of my most recent position before Kajabi, I was GM of Success Academy, which was the digital education arm of Success Magazine. And when I transitioned out of that role, and they're still an amazing organization doing great things, just didn't want to relocate to Dallas at the time. Kenny said, hey, dude, we've grown a lot. Why don't we revisit this? And I was like, yeah, that sounds easier than moving out the office that I'm renting from you. So why don't we talk about that? And, you know, the conversations went extremely well. And almost 3 years ago, stepped in as president of Kajabi and have been fortunate to still be here. And, you know, we've grown tremendously. We're now in a new office now. It's actually Kajabi's fourth office, our largest. We're here in 17,000 square feet in Irvine. We have an on-site training area for 50 people. It's really, really been spectacular. And hopefully that story is not only both educational for those of you that are listening, bear in mind the power is truly in the relationships and the rapport that you build. You never know where they're going to go. And so making sure that you leave every relationship better than you found it is something that has always served me well in my career.
Yeah, it reminds me of the childhood story of Hansel and Gretel. It's like the digital version.
Totally.
Yeah, leaving.
Yeah, like, the breadcrumbs, right?
Yeah, definitely. So really interesting. And you mentioned there about new offices. And actually, in my experience, you know, whenever businesses move into new offices, there's just this explosion of growth. So are you at capacity already? How's it going there?
You know, it's funny because we moved into this office in November of last year. So we've now been in this office almost 5 months. And when we moved into this office, it was, oh my gosh, how are we ever going to fill all of this space? Because it was triple the size of our last office. And now we're at a place where we will actually outgrow this office before this year is over. So we signed a 5-year lease. We'll outgrow it in a year. And, you know, we're just going to have to get more creative, maybe find some more space, or maybe start, you know, looking at virtual employee options. You know, whatever it takes to support the growth. We're just so blessed to be in the position to support and empower entrepreneurs globally. And, you know, we're going to keep doing whatever we need to do to make sure that keeps happening.
Yeah, definitely. And have you ever heard the expression that, like, nature hates a vacuum?
Absolutely. Nature, the way I've always heard it is nature abhors a vacuum. But yes, if there is space available, it will be filled.
So funny. So what would you say your personal brand is, and how has that helped you in the digital market space?
You know, it's funny you bring up personal brand, because I would say I don't really have one. One of the things that's been interesting for me is, so my nickname is J-Cron, which really is an extremely well thought out nickname, which is my first initial and half of my last name. And that is about it. So everybody in the industry knows me as J-Cron. That's pretty much the only way that I go by in the industry. But I've never really built that into a personal brand. It's been something that I've thought about a lot. But oddly enough, what has really served me in the executive capacity of the industry, and one of the things that has allowed me to work with such amazing organizations, is I've never really desired to be the person on stage. You know, that a lot of people who get into this industry, I think oftentimes will take a job with a company, and they will take a job with that company with the desire to get enough exposure or notoriety to then do it on their own. And for me, my only goal in every organization I've ever worked with is to add as much value to that organization as possible. It was never, well, how do I build my own brand while I'm building their brand? It's always been focused on just being the best executive I could be. So it's certainly something that I see a lot of value in personal brand. Those people that have them, I look on a little bit envious, because it looks like fun at times. But I also know the other side of that coin, the amount of maintenance and communication that is required when you have a personal brand to keep it up. And it's certainly something that, for me, I've always found that those efforts are better directed into the company that I'm leading.
But I mean, we met in the Kajabi Facebook group. So, you know, you're an active, like, participant in that group. You comment, you go in there and you like. So, you know, you do have values around that, and you are there in the community providing value. So it just, Does that not come across as a personal brand, do you not think?
You know, it definitely does. I think my personal brand would be that, you know, I'm part of Kajabi and I'm here to help everyone as much as humanly possible on their Kajabi adventure. I think what I meant more about the personal brand I haven't pursued is that there's not, you know, I don't really have an Instagram. I don't really have a Facebook. I don't really, you know, my life personally is not really something that's driving a lot of engagement on social media. You know, my personal brand is pretty much inextricably linked with Kajabi. I don't have a personal brand outside of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, talking about the e-learning industry, you know, how is that, how do you get inspired from that? Do you enjoy it? What sort of stays you in that industry other than
experience? Well, absolutely. I mean, anyone who's not inspired by digital learning is just not paying attention. I mean, if you think about the fact that if you were to rewind as few as 10 years ago, what you would have to go through, the amount of investment you would have to make and the amount of logistics you would have to navigate to learn anything was significant. You were either going to go to a college, you were going to buy a book, and hope the book wasn't outdated. You were going to need to invest significantly into a weekend or week-long seminar. All of these different formats were going to be at your fingertips, but they were all logistically very complicated. And yet here today, for $20 or less at times, you can pretty much learn anything you want about anything, or you can choose even more immersive and highly personalized experiences coupled with coaching and accountability into the 4- and 5-figure realm and be able to really advance in any category you want from the comfort of your own home on your own schedule. The power that that brings and the equipping of entrepreneurs and thought leaders that we've never seen before is really just beginning to happen. And to be at the forefront of that inflection point is something that's extremely exciting for us.
Yeah. And what would you say to, like, you know, I can YouTube anything and get it for free. How would you answer that question?
Anybody that tells me that, my first answer is going to be, well, what's the last thing you got for free that had tremendous value? I know that if you're going to try and go learn something for free, it's going to require a lot of Googling. It's going to require a lot of sorting through complete crap that's not organized and not designed in an educational experience or environment. You're not going to know who you're learning it from or what their credibility necessarily is. And so really, and the way that I describe it is, learning things for free on YouTube is really what the information age promised, which was just the publishing of everything. Everything is online, everything is available. But the difference between information and knowledge is that knowledge is curated with a bias towards action. That when information is organized in a linear fashion driving towards an outcome, it becomes knowledge. It's not just random information. I believe that YouTube is an amazing source of information, but not an amazing source of knowledge. That the information age really prompts us to be more suspect of what we're looking at. It prompts a lot more disinformation than it does information. I mean, just look at all of the fake news and everything else that's going on, regardless of what party you support. Everybody is spinning things their way. Everybody is manipulating things their way. The knowledge element is what having someone that is accountable for the outcome you're looking for, who has experienced the transformation you're hoping for, that's where true change happens. I think it is very, very rare that you meet someone who was committed enough to go through free content on YouTube and have it impact their business in a powerful way.
Yeah, and you mentioned the information age, and I have a view that potentially we're in the knowledge age at the moment because we've kind of been through all these different revolutions. But actually, when the information age was about providing high cost value info that people were selling, and actually to get knowledge now, where would you go if you said, like, how would I start a photography business, or how would I run the best florist shop in the world? You know, where would you go to get that kind of information?
And I would go to Google, of course, is where you're going to start, but then your sifting and sorting process is going to be different. Like, I don't go to Google to see what I can find for free. I go to Google to see who I can connect with to buy from.
Yes.
So I'm going to go on Google. I'm going to look for something. I'm going to judge the quality of the free information that I'm receiving, which indicates that person's level of knowledge, commitment, and professionalism. And then the moment that I feel that there's a fit in the free category, I'm buying whatever it is they have, because I know that's going to shortcut my learning process. And whether we like it or not, when we pay attention.
Yeah.
That if I give my money for something, I'm going to go through that with a completely different level of focus and commitment than I will if I'm just reading a free blog post.
Yeah. And it's interesting because we deliberately changed one of, we have a load of free products in our, some of our training products, but one of the things we changed about going into one of our subscription products is we put a tripwire in of a small sale. And it's something I noticed that Brendan did on some of his courses. He put like, I think, a dollar in at the beginning, but just the mindset of going to get the card and actually it changes how you view that information and that knowledge. You go into, you take action, and you do the stuff that's on offer. So for me, that I'm all about making sure that, you know, people get value, but they are accepting that value as well, that they are exchanging in that process. So I get exactly where you're coming from. So what's one of the biggest struggles and mistakes you think e-learning entrepreneurs have?
So this is a question that I get a lot, and it's actually one of my favorite to answer. I think where most digital entrepreneurs in general go wrong, and it certainly applies exponentially more to digital product entrepreneurs, is I go back to my quote from Bruce Lee, which is, I don't fear the man who knows 10,000 kicks, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times. And what that basically means is you should choose whatever it is you are going to master as a tool and stick with it until you master it. That I find that most marketers I meet are jacks of all trades, but masters of none. And all that results in is a very shallow presence, experience, and results across every channel. That, you know, if they have 100% available of bandwidth, they're dividing it in 2% across 50 categories rather than choosing one category and diving into it deep. Whether you're doing content marketing, whether you're doing SEO, social media marketing, paid traffic, whatever it is you are leveraging in your business, by deciding to bet 100% on one of them of your efforts, or maybe 50% divided over two max, you're going to get much greater results than you ever would get trying to be on every methodology, on every platform, all of the time. You're just not capable of it. And so where I see most digital entrepreneurs go is they're like, oh, I should do content marketing. So I did a couple blog posts, but then, oh, someone said YouTube, so I should probably head over to YouTube. But then someone said paid traffic, so what I'm going to do is actually learn Facebook ads. And now, oh, it's Facebook Lives. Maybe I should do Facebook Lives. And then, oh, well, I heard SEO really matters because if they find you on Facebook and Google you, I should do that. And so before you know it, all you have is this pile of half started, half executed things, and you're not getting the benefit of anything that's been taken to the finish line.
Yeah, it's so true. And it, overwhelm is one of the biggest killers of energy, isn't it? So if you've got overwhelm in all those different platforms, then most people throw the towel in. And it's one of the things that I look for, actually, when I find stuff is getting tough, I always think, right, now how do I dig in? Because I know this is the point where I'm going to make the real transformational difference. So in terms of tips and other things, what one thing would you say should be doing? What, instead of the mistakes, what are the obvious successes that people miss out?
Well, I think the successes that people miss out on are just the value that can be achieved by just offering something for sale. I think the industry is perpetually in this, if I just get this one more thing ready, then I'll be ready to sell. And I think that so many people miss out on the opportunity to sell before you're ready, very much the ready, fire, aim approach. Because once you sell something to someone, you are going to gain far more knowledge about your product and the needs of the marketplace than you ever will preparing to sell something. So I'm a big proponent of sell it as fast as possible, because that's where your true education is going to come from, versus all of the conceptual mental masturbation, for a better, you know, lack of a better term. Get it out there, get it sold, start interacting with a person in a meaningful way that has given you money for your expertise. You're going to learn everything you need to know.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I've written about in my book coming up in the next few months, is actually expressions of interest. Go and get those expressions of interest and pre-sell before you actually, you know, find out that it's a mistake. I've seen people write 12 months worth of course content and then launch. And I almost think actually you're much better off going back and re-recording something or repositioning something after a month. So get it out. And actually that momentum of an industry wanting your content, it actually propels you to do it. So, you know, we're singing on the same hymn tree. I'm loving it. So what's in store for Kajabi? Where are you going?
Gosh, you know, as boring as the answer is, it's kind of more of the same. We really are coming out with some amazing new technology to the platform. One of the modules that we're really, really excited about is our community module, which is getting blown out pretty significantly with a lot of new features. It's something that we've released as a beta, but it's really this idea of reinventing what community is and viewing community as a product rather than just community as a bolt-on. It started out in the industry where people were on forums and that was working. That pendulum swung over to Facebook groups. And when the pendulum swung over to Facebook groups, Facebook came out and said, we are never going to run advertising to Facebook groups. Lo and behold, they're now running a shitload of advertising to Facebook groups. So you're now seeing a lot of people say, well, why am I going to surrender my best buyers into a group where all of my competitors can just advertise to them, while also surrendering control over your community to a platform that you have no ability to influence or impact? That who knows what Facebook's opinion will be tomorrow versus today versus a year from now. And we wholeheartedly believe that the right place the community should live is as a premium offering, whether a standalone product or whether a bonus to a product, that takes place in an environment where change can truly happen. That Facebook is the best distraction engine on the planet. And if you have a Facebook group trying to facilitate impactful dialogue, it's really hard to do when there's a ton of ads, there's cat pictures, there's Aunt Mabel wanting to see your kids' graduation, and there's all of your friends doing goofy things.
Yeah.
Good luck trying to have a meaningful conversation in that venue. So we really are looking at ways to bring that community conversation into an integrated relationship with a digital product and be able to do it in new and exciting ways. So that's a huge focus for us right now. And then also continuing to just improve and iterate on all of the tools that the platform already has.
And it strikes me, it's kind of like the whole own your own email list, doesn't it? That if you own your own community, you're not in that ransom to Facebook of them changing algorithms and moving stuff through. You know, it is quite easy for them to drop down Facebook Live notifications in group because they don't see that people want to engage, or and then you lose that community aspect overnight. So I'm really looking forward to that. One of the things I love about Kajabi is the whole process, the whole holistic view of it. And I trained as an accountant, and I used to work in many industries, and we used to have all these bolt-on systems, and it used to remind me of, we used to have a sales ledger that used to integrate into a different part of the nominal ledger, and then we used to have a different payroll system, and it just used to be a nightmare because there was always different reconciling. And I just love the completeness of Kajabi and how it's all there. So, you know, people talk about going into different platforms, and There are obviously competitors, Kajabi. What do you think is the USP, you know, given that for Kajabi?
It's pretty simple. We want technology barriers to be removed from your ability to create transformation. We believe wholeheartedly that this industry has done more of a disservice than a service by introducing technical complexity beyond the ability of most people to execute on it. We created marketing automations, but we created it in a way that all of the people that probably have Infusionsoft and have never used any of those marketing automations come to Kajabi and are now using them. So we really want to design technology that is approachable and impactful, not something that is so overly complex that nobody ever actually uses it. We really want to become the Apple to the industry's Android is really where we're trying to go.
And do you think people get addicted to learning? Do you like learning? Do you go and
I'm obsessed with it. I read all the time. I rarely listen to music unless it's in the background. If I'm listening to anything, it's an audiobook. I'm a voracious reader, voracious learner. Anything I can get my hands on.
So do you read any fiction? Are you ever into a...
I read one fiction book because Tim Ferriss told me to. It was The Graveyard by Neil Gaiman, and it was a remarkable book. I loved everything about it, and I probably would read more fiction. I just never get around to it. I tell myself, like, I'm going to do it, but then all of a sudden there's another really good nonfiction book, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to read that.
Me too. I deliberately went out to buy a fiction book, and I just thought I turned about three pages, and then I was like back into some kind of business book.
It's one of those things. If I'm taking the time to read, it's not for enjoyment for enjoyment's sake. It's very much I'm taking the time so that I am better at whatever I'm spending the non-reading time doing.
Yeah. And what would you say to somebody who was like, okay, I'm going to write a book or I'm going to write a digital course? What kind of pros and cons do you think are there?
My answer would be you should do both. The book is going to appeal to a totally different audience and demographic, as is the digital course, but they have a very symbiotic relationship where the book will add credibility and excitement to the course, and the course adds depth and immersive experience to the book. So they really do work well together. If you're looking at where you want to start, that's really going to come down to your skill set. Are you more of a prolific content creator with a keyboard or writing or just speaking and getting it transcribed and editing? Or are you better in a video setting and you really want to create a course where they get to see you and you get to instruct in front of a whiteboard and create tools? And it's going to come down more to your creative strengths and playing to those. Again, going back to where are you going to focus your efforts?
Yeah.
But ultimately, both of them are going to work symbiotically and do very, very great things for each other.
Yeah. See, I mean, you guys must have a lot of fun in Kajabi thinking up of new ideas to implement. And so how do you decide?
As far as how we decide, we've got an extremely robust and talented product team that is constantly doing user interviews with all of our users to uncover the needs and how we can solve them elegantly. Really building things that are exciting, new, and different. And then, just continuing to be plugged into our community. You know, we're not only users of the product, but we're builders of the product. So it's something that by continuing to interact with the community and be a user of the product, it informs our development as well. So you'll see from us this coming year a lot of new resources that we have never, ever, ever built before. Some of the new training modules that we're putting together, we recently did Marketing Mastery, which was very well reviewed, and we're going to be coming out with even more digital learning on what we believe is the Kajabi way to approach this business.
Yeah, and that's something I've noticed is, you know, in some of the content you guys are putting out, you're becoming more and more the thought leaders really around how courses should be positioned, how they should be sold. Do you ever go back into the theory of learning, or do you think that's relevant?
You know, it's really something that all of the theories of learning, albeit interesting to read about at times, it changes so quickly. It's so dependent on what the focused attention span that people are able to offer. And so I think really by the time that instructional design gets published, oftentimes some of the tenets have been overridden already. I really think for us, the only name of the game is just how quickly can you get someone from current state to desired state with as little brain damage as possible. And we really believe in more of the iterative process of putting something out there and then tweaking and optimizing based on feedback versus trying to engage at, you know, the optimum level based on whatever learning school of thought. But I mean, we're always going to try and, you know, try to appeal to the auditory, the visual, the kinesthetic, you know, all of the different learning types we're going to try and appeal to with everything we do. But as far as subscribing to a specific modality of education, not really.
No. And how do you think, like, e-learning will disrupt the whole, I think formal education has needs a disruption in some shape or form. Certainly in the UK, we see universities charging lots of big fees, and actually the outcome is that some people still go on to what we call in the UK the minimum wage. So actually they haven't upskilled or got the return on their investment for their education. So where do you think e-learning comes into this?
You know, I think it's going to be something that the future will tell the tale, but I think that if I was guessing, you're going to see people really reevaluating the amount of student loan debt that they're taking on when you can't ROI that investment at a level that allows you to pay back the student loan debt and build a life around it.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see a lot of individuals really ask themselves, well, gosh, if I can learn all of these very specific market applicable skill sets for far less money without the debt, why would I not do that and try it? And if it turns out to be a career I love, then if I want to go back to college, I can go back to college. But I don't think it's something that the education system right now is really prepared for the coming adjustment of, wow, I'm not taking on that kind of debt. I'm just going to opt for a different path.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you know, I don't know what education is going to do because they're definitely overcharging for a whole lot of things that are available in lots of other ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you think e-learning can help the poorest of the world?
I think as we see broadband internet and the ability to consume video lessons proliferate across the globe, you're going to see individuals get educated on concepts that they've never seen before. Peter Diamandis calls it the rising billions, and I truly do believe it's something that could absolutely elevate the skill sets and abilities of generations of individuals that have never had access to this type of education. So I think it's something that's going to be a massive, massive benefit to the globe as a whole.
Yeah. So does Kajabi have a purpose? Do you have an underlying, you know, goal or vision for how you make an impact in the world?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Our vision is pretty simple. We exist to empower entrepreneurs, influencers, and experts.
Yeah.
So whatever those markets require, previously it would have been just selling a, 12 module course. And now it means a whole lot of marketing automation tools, community, live broadcast abilities, all of those things.
Yeah.
But whatever those markets need, that's what we're going to be providing.
So, and in terms of your business and you know, what you want to do with Kajabi, are you looking to, I just feel that like you don't perhaps capture the whole revenue stream from your entrepreneurs, because I read on your, I think it was on your LinkedIn page that you're talking about $300 million from Kajabi entrepreneurs.
But I got to update that. It's actually $700 million now.
Is
it's been a while since I've been on LinkedIn.
Yeah. It's $700 million. I mean, that's an astonishing number, but I bet a load of those entrepreneurs are selling outside the classroom as well. So, stuff that you can't track. I mean, you're getting on for a substantial amount of money. I mean, you must be really proud.
We're extremely happy, and more than anything, it's just so fulfilling to see the stories of change of people that didn't know they could succeed online, had never succeeded online before, all of a sudden putting up numbers they've never put up before and have a growing business.
Yeah.
Stories of families changed, lives changed, opportunities taken advantage of. It's really, really awesome.
Yeah, we're in the Kajabi Mastermind group, and one of the things I find fascinating is that sometimes people are just like shoot in there with one launch, and it's just that fantastic. They've hit six figures almost like overnight.
That's what's possible.
Yeah,
that's absolutely what's possible.
Yeah, and do you think that takes like practice? Does that require a certain amount of?
I think anybody that you'll see, it's certainly possible that they could have just struck gold the first time they did something, but the vast majority of people I meet, they would be the, 5 years in, 10 years in, 2 years in, one year in, overnight success. That there's always all of the story that you don't see beforehand.
Yeah. 10 year in overnight success, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit something about you. And I think I read you like Sausalee's wine. Is that how you say it?
I absolutely love isosceles wine. That's one of my favorites. I really, candidly, I don't think I've ever met a wine or spirit that I didn't like. I'm a big believer in adult beverages. I enjoy them enthusiastically. Love food, love travel. My wife, my cute puppy are amazing. Certainly blessed to have them in my life. Other than that, just food and booze are really my two big passions.
Fab. Okay, well, thanks very much for coming on the podcast today. We really loved having you. I'm sure Kajabi will go on to be a storming success forever. So thank you very much.
My absolute pleasure, Lorraine. Thank you for having me. For those of you listening, if you'd like to check out more of what we're doing, check us out at kajabi.com, KAJABI.com. We've got some amazing resources. And if you Google online, you're going to find our 28-day challenge, which takes you from zero to getting your first product launched and selling before your subscription ever rebills, gives you double our standard 14-day trial. Nonetheless, thanks for having me. Pleasure being here. And for anybody listening, if you're wondering about this industry, just get started. You're going to be glad you did.
Yeah, thank you. And if people want to reach out to you, which platform do you prefer?
Any of them. I'm equally accessible on all and equally not that engaged on most. So whether you hit me on Twitter, hit me on Facebook, hit me on Instagram, I don't even have photos on my Instagram, but you'll find me everywhere.
Brilliant. Well, it was lovely to have you. Thanks very much.
You as well, Lorraine. Take care.
Bye.
So I'm just sat in the studio now having listened to the edited version of Jonathan's interview, and oh my God, is there some gold dust in there? I would really encourage you guys to listen to what he said and just take it on board and really move forward. Jaquan is an industry leader, an industry giant in what he does, and is a very successful businessman in his own right. But actually, as a president of Kajabi, he is really smashing it, and that company is smashing it now. I'm a huge fan of Kajabi. If you're not on Kajabi, get on there. It is life-changing if you put your stuff out there, if you get that knowledge out of your head. Now, my book, More Money, More Fun, helps you find a strategy to do exactly that. And the tool you need to use is Kajabi. Put those two things together and you will be unstoppable. please, please, please like and subscribe our podcast here and share with others, because what we're trying to do is reach out to people and help people. And we want to have a massive ripple effect, not only to help you move your life forward, but just think about all the people you're going to help. And that is transformational. Let's go out there and make an impact in the world and get stuff done, man. Speak soon.